ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टेक्स्ट 17 एंड 18। सो फर्स्ट विल रिसाइट टेक्स्ट 17। कर्मणो हि अपि बोधव्यम् बोधव्यम् च विकर्मण आकर्मणश्च बोधव्यम् गहना कर्मणो गति। क्लेशन द इंट्रिकेसीज ऑफ एक्शन आर वेरी हार्ड टू अंडरस्टैंड। Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. If one is serious about liberation from material bondage, one has to understand the distinction between action, inaction, and unauthorized actions. One has to apply oneself to such an analysis of action, reaction, and perverted actions because it is a very difficult subject matter. To understand Krishna consciousness and action according to its modes, one has to learn one's relationship with the Supreme. That is, one who has learned perfectly knows that every living entity is an eternal servitor of the Lord. And consequently, one has to act in Krishna consciousness. The entire Bhagavad Gita is directed towards this conclusion. Any other conclusions against this consciousness and its attended actions are vikarmas or prohibited actions. To understand all this, one has to associate with authorities in Krishna consciousness and learn the secret from them. This is as good as learning from the Lord directly. Otherwise, even the most intelligent persons will be bewildered. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing 17th and 18th verse today from chapter 4 Bhagavad Gita. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. So very important verse, Gahana Karmano Gati. Gahana means very difficult. This intricacies are very difficult to understand. But it is said one should understand the three things. What are the three things? What is karma, what forbidden action is, vikarma, and what is inaction or akarma. Very important subject. Because actually Krishna consciousness is an intricate subject. Bhagavad Gita itself is a mystery. And not only that, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita is also a mystery. Krishna is very mysterious personality for common masses to understand. Because devotees worship him as supreme personality of Godhead. But different people perceive him with different consciousness. Some people cannot understand how can you worship Krishna, this personality as supreme personality of Godhead, who is involved in so many immoral activities. He provokes Pandavas to engage in so many cheating activities on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He engages them in the warfare. In fact, many times people mention that they don't want to keep this Bhagavad Gita at home because this Bhagavad Gita has a picture of Krishna and Arjuna fighting. So therefore, it will create fight in the house. So we don't want to keep this Bhagavad Gita at home. Or they say, how can you worship this personality Krishna who his whole childhood spent in the village of Vrindavan, in small village, stealing butter at different houses? What kind of God is he? Or sometimes people blame that how can you worship Krishna as Supreme God who used to dance in the middle of night with the wives of other men in Vrindavan. How can you worship Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead who had 16,000 wives? What kind of God is he? So many things about Krishna are difficult to understand. And as far as Krishna's message, that is also very difficult to understand. Bhagavad Gita. What kind of God is he who, in the whole Gita, what a mystical way or what a mysterious talk he gives. At 5 different places in Gita, he uses the word Ahimsa. And he says, Arjuna, one should be non-violent. In 16th chapter, he says, the divine quality is non-violence. You should not fight. He is against the battle. He is against the war. He is against the yudh, violence. He is against the violence, against killing people. That is divine quality, Ahimsa, non-violence. In 10th chapter, in 13th chapter, in so many different places, he glorifies this. In 17th chapter, he glorifies this quality of Ahimsa. And whom he is telling Ahimsa? Arjun. The ultimate purpose of Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna get up and fight. And the whole Gita is directed towards the teaching Ahimsa, Ahimsa, Ahimsa. What kind of mysterious talk this is? Why Krishna does not talk in straight language? Somebody may ask like that. Why he doesn't talk in the straight? Another example you may think. Krishna is talking around 3 or 4 places in Gita. The quality of Satyam. One should be truthful. One should be truthful. One should be truthful. And in Mahabharata you see how he is provoking Yudhishthira Maharaj. And several places he is provoking his devotees. Come on, speak lie for me. And he himself speak lie. He steals butter and then he says, main nahi makhan khayo. I have not. So he is teaching truthfulness, truthfulness, truthfulness. And in his activities, he takes to speaking lie. When he is dealing with his friends, you also tell a lie. So practical action, it appears that duplicity is there, but in teachings there is morality. So then somebody feels, oh, Bhagavad Gita is a book of immorality. Krishna is just duplicitous. He talks something and does something and tells his friends to do something else. Right? So therefore, one has to understand intricacies of action are hard to understand. They are hard to understand. And one gets bewildered in what is to be done and what is not to be done. Therefore, one should know properly what action is. When Krishna is talking about Ahimsa, what he means by the word Ahimsa. When Krishna is talking about the word truthfulness, Satyam, what he means by truthfulness. So, what are these words actually meant? What is real action? What is forbidden action? And what is inaction? So, these concepts are being raised. So it says, but somebody may question, why first of all to learn this subject? Why should I be interested in knowing about Krishna? I have enough things to do in my own life. Why should I take interest in all these subject matters in what your personality Krishna is so complicated has to offer us? It may appear. But Prabhupada explains in the purport, the first line. If one is serious about liberation from material bondage, one has to understand the distinctions between action, inaction, and unauthorized action. If one is serious about liberation, one has to understand the distinction between action, inaction, and unauthorized action. One has to apply oneself to such an analysis of action, reaction, and perverted action because it is a very difficult subject matter. Like that. So if one is serious about liberation from material bondage, so in this chapter only, in the last few verses, we have been discussing that how Krishna is talking about ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sthaiva bhajami ham. As one approaches me, I reciprocate accordingly. Right? As one approaches me, I reciprocate accordingly. He says, those who, people do not approach me. First of all, they do not approach me because they are interested in immediate benefits. And instead of coming to Krishna, to worship Krishna, what do? They go to some big leaders of this world. And they worship the big leaders of this world. Kankshita karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devata. Iha devata. They are not interested in the param devata. In the param Ishwar. They are interested in iha devata. So small time heroes of this world, they are interested in worshipping them. Why? Because apparently the benefit which is achieved is very fast. So very immediate. Shiparam hi manushe loke. And therefore, for their facility, because different people have different interests in this material world, not everybody is interested in coming to Krishna. So what I have created? Chaturvarnaya maya srishtam. I have created this varnashram system. What is this varnashram system? The system of four ashrams and four spiritual and four social divisions. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. These four ashrams and four spiritual orders are created in such a way, four spiritual and four social orders, four varna and four ashrams are created, so that everybody can fulfill their desires also in this world and slowly and steadily come out of the cycle of birth and death. Come out of the cycle of entanglement. So why I have created? So that slowly one can fulfill his desire, at the same time come out of this entanglement. Come out of this entanglement. So, but somebody may blame. So Krishna is telling, I have created to facilitate your desires because you want to fulfill your desires in a certain way. It is your wish. You want to live in this world in a certain way. So I have created a particular kind of species, a particular kind of body by which you can fulfill your desires and gradually come to the understanding of how to get out of the cycle of birth and death. So although I have created these four divisions, these four varnas, four ashrams, yet what happens? Yet I have nothing to do with the whole system. I am not directly involved with the system. This is only to facilitate your desire. Sometimes the society blames that why the society is divided into these Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Why this division is there? Why people are distinguished based on certain varnas? Why this distinction is made? And they start blaming God. Why God has decided like this? Why somebody is so rich, somebody is poor, somebody is educated, somebody is uneducated? But he clearly says, Tasya kartaram api mam vidhi akartaram avyayam. I am not involved in the whole business. This is just to facilitate your desire. This is just to facilitate your desire to enjoy in this world. I have created these divisions so that you can fulfill your desire and at the same time purify yourself. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Shri Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Bhagavan ki jai. So he says, I am not directly involved, I have nothing to do. What all this is just facilitate your fulfilling your desires and you get purified and come back home, back to Godhead. That is the whole goal. So although I am facilitating, but I am still not the doer. Do not blame me for anything. Do not blame me for the life which you have obtained. Do not blame me for the kind of body which you have obtained. It is only to facilitate your past karmas and your past desires. That's all. So one has to understand that the whole facility is given based on the past deeds and the karmas and to facilitate our desires. But the ultimate goal is how to use this facility to get out of cycle of birth and death. But then what happens is when one gets this body, one gets entangled. One starts enjoying this body. One starts enjoying the facilities of this body. And one forgets what is the goal of this human life. What is the purpose for which all this human body is given to us. So then he says, Kuru karmaiva tasmatvam. Just follow in the footsteps of the past liberated souls. One has to understand this science from the past liberated souls. what is action, what is inaction, and what is forbidden action. One has to understand that. So further, Prabhupada writes in the purport, to understand Krishna consciousness and action according to its modes, one has to learn one's relationship with the Supreme. That is, one who has learned perfectly knows that every living entity is an eternal servitor of the Lord. And consequently, one has to act in Krishna consciousness. The entire Bhagavad Gita is directed towards this conclusion. So what is the ultimate conclusion of Gita? That how one is an eternal servitor of the Lord and consequently one has to act in Krishna consciousness. Any other conclusions against this consciousness and its attendant actions are vikarmas or prohibited actions. To understand all this, one has to associate with authorities in Krishna consciousness and learn the secret from them. This is as good as learning from the Lord directly. Otherwise, even the most intelligent persons will be bewildered. So we'll just also cover some of the points of the next verse and then we'll discuss about that because there are two verses. Karmani akarma ya pashyet akarmani cha karma ya sa buddhiman manushyesu sa yuktaha krishna karma krit. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction. So very interesting. Inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men. And he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. Prabhupada writes in the purport, a person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work. Consequently, he is intelligent in human society. Even though he is engaged in all sorts of activities for Krishna. Akarma means without reaction to work. The impersonalist sees fruitive activities out of fear, so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of his service. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work. So very beautiful concept of karma, akarma and vikarma. It explains here what is akarma, what is karma and what is vikarma. But for that, Prabhupada says, first one has to understand one's eternal relationship in servitor with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a simple science, nothing very complicated. The words are very complicated, action, inaction and forbidden action. But it is very simple. Science says every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So the simple philosophy of Bhagavad Gita is, that any action you do in this life, specifically in human life, because only human life you are subject to reactions, it's considered a field of activity. Just like in a field, you generate something. So in human life, anything we do, we generate certain karma. We generate certain reaction. And we are liable to suffer that reaction. For every act, we are responsible. So for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. As the science says. So, for every karma, there is a reaction. So, this means any act where we take the responsibility to do something, what we get? We get a reaction. Simple science like that. Where we take the responsibility, there is a reaction. So, Arjuna was told in second chapter, Karmanne vadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. So, when we preach that verse, is often understood as work is worship. Just do your work, that is your worship. But that is not enough. Karman nevadhikaraste. Yes, every man has to right to do work. Adhikar. Every man has a adhikar to do work. Ma phaleshu kadachana. But he is not entitled to the fruits of the action. One has to consider very carefully. Because the moment somebody is told, this is your responsibility, this is your work, he immediately understands that I am also liable to the fruits. Fruits also will come to me. I will decide what will be the fruits and then I will be the enjoyer of the fruits. So as soon as you take the responsibility of the fruits, you take the responsibility, you become the cause of certain work, naturally you become the enjoyer or sufferer of their fruits also. Because you became the cause. You decided you want to do certain work. You became the cause of the work. When some work you decide, you desire to do it. So you suffer also. You desire to eat certain products, certain food. So when we desire, because our action of eating is propelled by our desire, what happens? We also get the reaction. Because we desire to eat something, so what happens? We go to the market or we go to the fields, we pluck out something, we use some other living entity for our sense gratification. Then we bring it, we cook it, we buy it from the market, we cook, and so many activities are involved. And while cooking, so much killing is involved, so many germs are being killed there. And all this is taking place just to satisfy our desire. So what it becomes? It becomes an action for which you are responsible. And because we are responsible for that action, what happens? We decided to perform that action, what happens? We are also entitled to a certain reaction. So automatically, we get the reaction for that. So for every karma, there is a reaction. Now in karma also, there are two categories. Karma sanctioned, karma which is done whimsically by your own desire, or karma which is sanctioned, action which is sanctioned by scriptures. So that action which is whimsical, which is prohibited in the scriptures, just like in terms of eating, what is not allowed in the scriptures? Meat eating is not allowed. Human life is not meant for killing animals. Only patram pushpam phalam toyam. Only leaf, flower, fruit, water, such things. So anything which is not allowed in the scriptures, that becomes vikarma. Prohibited action, which is prohibited in the scriptures. So for human life, certain actions are allowed and certain actions are prohibited. So when one enters the range of prohibited actions, that will be called vikarma. Prohibited action. And for that, what happens? We get a reaction. Which reaction? A bad reaction. Like that. That is vikarma. And similarly, there can be an action which is justified by the scriptures, which is given by the scriptures, of how you can gratify your senses, enjoy life following the injunctions of the scriptures. So that becomes karma. Karma, or is sanctioned by the scriptures, a good action for which you have a good reaction. But still you get a reaction. So for every action, there is a reaction. For good action, good reaction, bad reaction. So as long as we are getting this reaction, as long as we are being responsible for doing certain activity, as long as we are the cause of certain activity, what happens? We keep getting reaction. Good reaction or bad reaction. But very first line, Prabhupada made it very clear, if one is serious about liberation from the bondage, what one has to do? One has to understand this karma, vikarma and akarma. Karma, vikarma and akarma. So we are not interested in karma, we are not interested in vikarma. So when one falls into the trap of karma and vikarma, when one becomes the cause of certain action, when one becomes the whimsical doer of certain action, even on the guidance of scriptures, but that action is motivated by his desire to enjoy this world. So as long as one is holding certain desire to enjoy in this world, one is implicated in the cycle of karma or vikarma. But we are interested in getting out of this cycle of birth and death. And if we are interested in getting out of this cycle of birth and death, what we have to do? We have to act in this world or not act in this world in such a way that one gets free from cycle of birth and death. One does not get any reaction. One doesn't have to suffer or enjoy the reactions of activities in this world. So then one may think that, okay, we have to avoid reaction, so stop acting. So if action is bad, what do we take to? Inaction. Inaction is good. Inaction means no action. Stop all activity. And that was Arjuna's thinking in last four chapters. And Krishna is finding it really tough to explain to Arjuna that, my dear Arjuna, what is the meaning of action and inaction? Arjuna is thinking that if action, either scriptural action or vikarma, prohibited action, both lead to reaction, so stop action. Na rahega baans, na bajegi baansuri. So stop action. Stop action, there is no sound, no reaction, everything will stop. Inaction. So Arjuna is telling, why this battlefield? If I take to this battlefield, papam eva shreya dasman hatvaitan atataina. If I do this, so much sinful reaction will come to me. So much violence, so many people will be killed. And practically in this world, how can you live without having a reaction? Every moment we are killing so many living entities. Just by your breathing, your living is a cause of sinful reaction. Just by our living, when we are breathing so many living entities, when we are walking, we are cooking, so many living entities are killed. Just by the presence in this world, what is happening, so much reaction is being generated. So what is Arjuna's understanding? If activity is the cause of reaction, stop acting. Stop acting, that finishes the whole scene. Stop acting means, Krishna is telling, okay, Arjuna is telling, I will go to the forest. I will not engage in this battlefield. No family activity, no politics, no diplomacy, no engagement in this worldly activities. Because worldly activity means all dirtiness is involved in this world. You just can't avoid telling a lie. You just can't avoid cheating. You can't avoid violence. Somewhere or other we are implicated. So tendency to think is worldly activity means always there is some contamination involved. So as long as I will live in this world, I will keep getting reactions. So where is the question of getting liberation? So let me stop all activity. Give up family life. Go to the forest. That's best. Inaction. But will he not eat food? Will he not breathe there? Will he not walk there? Will he not live there? Just by living only, he is creating so much sin. So then what? Should he finish the life? Just commit suicide? That is also not allowed. How can you take your life which is not without the sanction? You can't just kill yourself. That is also sinful. No? Just like from a prison house. If somebody is supposed to stay in the prison house for 50 years and he runs away in 20 years, sinful. First of all, he has to finish 30 years of punishment. When he will be caught, he will be given even more punishment. Now you say 60 years. Because you tried to run away. Suicide is also not... What is this good? So Arjuna is thinking inaction is the solution. But inaction is not the solution. Just stopping activity, just by your living, you are committing sin. Or if you commit suicide, that is the biggest sin. So what should I do? You are living, then you are... Then you are entangled, you are want to die, then you are entangled. What should I do? So this is the actually beautiful meaning that one who is intelligent sees action in inaction. He sees action in inaction. If he thinks he will retire from the life, he will give up all activity. What is his conception of inaction? But there is a lot of action involved there also. Just by his breathing, eating, talking, and even by committing suicide, he's creating so much reaction. So anything which creates reaction is as good as action. So what kind of inaction is that? Very poetical. Inaction, action, reaction. So one is trying to avoid reaction, but what is getting entangled in more and more reaction. So what should one do? So therefore, Arjuna is told, stop becoming the cause of your activity. Stop becoming the cause of your activity. Stop becoming the decisive factor of your activity. Always you are deciding what you will do, what you want to do and what you do not want to do. Take out this word want from your life. Take out this word I want. You can't remove the word want. Desires cannot be removed. But I desire has to be removed. Your personal sense gratificated desires has to be removed. So it says, one who sees action in inaction, that is intelligent. Just by retiring, committing suicide, no, that is not helpful. Still one is getting reaction. So how to avoid reaction, that is the whole science. So stop becoming the cause of your action. Stop becoming the cause of your action. So when you stop becoming the cause of a reaction, of your action, then you do not even get any reaction. Such a person reaches the stage of akarma. Akarma means that karma for which there is no reaction. That karma for which one is not bound in this cycle of birth and death. That living in such a way in this world that one is not bound to take another life again. That is the whole art. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Kaushalam. That is the great art of doing work. One has to stop desiring based on personal sense gratification. So therefore, here it says, a person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. Somebody who is acting in Krishna consciousness, what is Krishna consciousness? His consciousness is not absorbed in selfish pursuits. His consciousness is not absorbed in selfish pursuits. In Krishna consciousness, he breathes for Krishna. He lives for Krishna. He eats for Krishna. Stiti seva, gatir yatra, smritis chinta, stutir vacha. That is what his life is. Stiti seva, why he is living in this world? The only purpose of his life is serving Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's all. Whatever body he has given us, whatever kind of senses he has given us, whatever set of senses or sense objects he has given us, somehow utilizing that in the service of Krishna without blaming or without complaining to Krishna that why this situation is like this or why situation is like that. Just offering yourself in the service of Krishna. So there is no personal desire. I wish situation would be like that. I wish circumstances would be like that. No. Whatever Krishna has given, sthiti seva. So Krishna decides what is the situation. Krishna decides what is the body. Krishna decides what is the senses. Krishna has given, we just offer that for Krishna's service. Sthiti seva. Gatir yatra. Gatir yatra. People are involved in so much work, going to different places, traveling in the trains, going in the buses, going by the auto rickshaws, traveling all different places. Gatir yatra. Wherever I go, it is just meant for service of Krishna. Gatir yatra. Holy pilgrimage. If I am going anywhere, it is for service of Krishna, or otherwise I am coming to temple, I am going to holy places, service of Krishna. So my traveling is also for service of Krishna. Gatir yatra. Smritis chinta. And mind is always thinking. What are the functions of mind? Thinking, feeling and willing. Always thinking, always feeling in certain things, developing so many emotions, and always developing a willpower. I will do this, I will do that. So thinking turns into emotions, feeling, feeling turns into a desire to do something. Willpower. But then, smritis chinta. Mind is always meditating on Krishna. So therefore, his existence becomes for Krishna. His life becomes for Krishna. His thoughts become for Krishna. His thoughts are only thinking of what Krishna is talking in Gita, what Krishna is talking in Bhagavatam, what devotees are talking about Krishna, acting in Krishna consciousness. So there is no personal motive, no personal desire or personal agenda moves out. Shriti seva gatir chinta smritis gatir yatra smritis chinta stutir vacha. And what else one do? One speaks. Lot of tendency to speak. Speaks. Just by speaking one creates so much reaction. Little here and there somebody speaks, he doesn't know what reaction he will accrue. As it is said, the words which come once come out of the mouth cannot be taken back. Ek bar kisi ko galat bol diya, you don't know what reaction will come. You speak good, you get good reaction. You speak bad, you get bad reaction. Very difficult to control. So, vachaha, very difficult to control. By action of speaking, so much reaction is generated. So therefore, a person acting in Krishna consciousness, his consciousness is not that I want to act for my own desire. But he has developed a strong Krishna consciousness. He is naturally free from the bonds of karma. He is not liable for any reaction. Why? Because he is just acting on behalf of Krishna. And the most simple example Sri Prabhupada gives is like a military commander or in military. The soldier on the front line is shooting. The commander says, shoot. And he shoots and he kills like 100 soldiers on the front line, on the opposite enemy. Or a police officer, he is in the police, dress, uniform, and he goes out and he shoots 10 criminals. And with the same pistol, he comes and at home he shoots his whole family. So when he was outside on the street, he shot 10 criminals, he was given an award for that. Very good. Perfect. The top 10 terrorists in the hit list, you have finished. Very good, you are awarded. But the same policeman, when he comes home and kills his family, something goes wrong, he fights with his family, kills the whole family. He is caught by the same judge, same high court judge. Okay, punished. Why you are punishing? Because they are the action for the criminals was on the behalf of the government, on behalf of your higher officials. So you are not responsible for killing. You are just killing because you are being told to kill. But when you become the cause at your home, you decide whimsically, I want to kill someone because I do not like it. I want to kill them. So you get the reaction. So that becomes vikarma, for which there is a reaction. Or karma, for which there is a good reaction. For vikarma, bad reaction. But when it is done for some higher officials, there is no reaction. So Krishna consciousness means the whole life is for the higher official, the most highest official, supreme personality of Godhead. Sthiti seva gatir yatra smritis chinta stutir vacha. Chaturvarnyam, he is telling Chaturvarnyam, I have created 4 ashrams and 4 varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Many activities are there. Everybody is involved in certain job, certain occupation, certain varna, certain ashram. What one has to do? Somehow engage all the activities for Krishna. So apparently one is doing so many activities, apparently it is karma. But because there is no reaction, what it becomes? It becomes a karma. For any action for which there is no reaction, that becomes a karma. Although it is karma, it becomes a karma. On the other side, somebody who thinks I will retire, I will stop all activity. But just by his living for his own self or is committing suicide, what happens? Although it is a karma, apparently it is a platform of no activity, but they are getting so much reaction. So it becomes karma. But Arjuna is told, apparently you will be engaged in so many activities on this battlefield. You will be fighting so many soldiers. Apparently so much karma is involved. But because you are not getting any reaction, that becomes a karma. So therefore, a person in Krishna consciousness is free from all bonds of karma. His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work. And he does not suffer anything. Consequently, he is intelligent in human society. Very intelligent. Why is intelligent? First of all, it's so difficult to avoid activity. If you tell someone, just sit down, meditate, try to make all thoughts zero in the mind, try to vacate all the thoughts, is it possible? Not possible. Because desire is always, I want to do activity. I want to do activity. So a facility is given, you can do activity also, at the same time no reaction. Enjoy life. Enjoy life but no reaction. Aam ke aam, guthniyo ke daam. So like that. So that's what it is. Krishna consciousness, you enjoy life, no reaction. But outside life, you struggle so much to enjoy and still no enjoyment. Whatever little enjoyment is, Prabhupada says lack of suffering. That's all. But Krishna consciousness, even though he is engaged in all sorts of activities, he is intelligent in human society. Prabhupada says there are four kinds of people. Lazy, what is that? Lazy, intelligent. Or busy, intelligent. And lazy, foolish, and busy, foolish. So some people are very, first of all, he is a fool and is still busily engaged, doing so many activities. Foolishly engaged. Or intelligent, but at the same time he keeps himself busy. But who is the best? Lazy, intelligent. By doing the least, gets the best benefit. That is the intelligent, isn't it? That is intelligent. So here Krishna conscious person is also like lazy, intelligent. He knows how to engage his desire to work, at the same time no reaction. And just enjoy life now, and enjoy life later. 4.30th verse will come in the future. Nayam loko nasti. What is that? Without this understanding Krishna consciousness, no enjoyment now, no enjoyment in future. With Krishna consciousness, enjoy life now and in the future liberation. Akarma means without reaction to work. Therefore, one should engage in the activities of Krishna consciousness because everything is done for Krishna. He enjoys only transcendental happiness. Father takes all the responsibility. Child has to just enjoy. So generally like Krishna consciousness means taking shelter of the father. Then no tension, no anxiety in the life. One becomes just an instrument. Just an instrument. Just an instrument in the mission of Krishna. He enjoys only transcendental happiness. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all reactions. Just like a police officer, as long as he works for authorities, he is immune, no reaction to him. Similarly, one who works for Krishna, first of all, because he is working for Supreme Lord, he shares all the opulence, isn't it? Servant of the king also gets all the opulence of the king. Because all the time he is serving the king, he is assistant to the king, he travels with him in the best of the vehicles, and he lives with him. He has good quarters with him. He got all the good food with him. Everything he gets with him. Good. So with Krishna, you get transcendental happiness and also there is no reaction in the future. So that is this verse. Karmani akarma ya pashyat. One who sees inaction in action. Akarma in karma. While doing so much karma also, no reaction. And action in inaction. Means so much reaction even without doing any karma. Is intelligent among men and he is in transcendental position. So the most intelligent position is just to become a servant of a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus one enjoys transcendental happiness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question? One question if somebody has. Yes.
Hey Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your good, kind lecture. My question is, this transcendental knowledge, one who understands this transcendental knowledge, he is supposed to understand his transcendental position and he is supposed to be free from all this attachment and this, he is supposed to be understand this action and reactions. But still then, suppose, why, means still then he is entangled in this attachment and fear and lust, envy. Why it is like that? Is there any some principles to follow? Even if one understands the transcendental knowledge, suppose one understands what is action and what is reaction, inaction and all that, but still then he is compelled to act under this attachment and this lust. Please explain.
Therefore, Prabhupada has mentioned here that this is a very intricate science to understand. The intricacies are very difficult to understand. It takes some time to understand how to act on the platform of Krishna consciousness and how to get rid of the attachments. So therefore, he says one has to follow in the footsteps. Following in the same series of last two verses, 15th verse. Now he says one has to follow in the footsteps. So, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Prabhupada writes, this is an art of doing work. Like you have to make this painting. So you do not learn in one day, you know. You put yourself under a teacher. And then you slowly, slowly develop the art. So an art has to be developed. It doesn't come in a day. It has to be developed. But similarly, there's a strong tendency to work under the attachments. Just like Prabhupada gives this example. This fan is moving. So you have to stop this fan. It's moving like this. And you want it to move like this, suppose. Of course, we don't want to move it like this. But so now it is moving like this, one direction. So you want it to move another direction. So first you stop it. So it doesn't stop immediately, right? Slowly, slowly it will stop. And you don't get angry. You don't start throwing stones at the fan. Why are you taking so much time to stop? Come on, stop and turn in the other direction. It will take some time. Keep some patience. So you switch off the fan first of all, and then slowly it stops. And then maybe you set up another machine, okay, now you turn in another direction. So similarly, Krishna consciousness is the whole, previously the whole life we had been working for our own sense gratification. So now you want to work for Krishna. So it doesn't happen in a day or two. So first thing is, you put yourself under guidance. And let this art develop. Slowly and steadily this art develops. So one has to learn this science under the guidance of an expert devotee who can guide us like that. So it takes some time. Okay? Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.